Praise be to God. Mark chapter 5 in your Bible. I said when faith is exercised, things happen. Amen? When faith is exercised, things happen. Pastor, you sure repeat yourself a lot. Pastor, you sure repeat yourself a lot. Pastor, you sure repeat yourself a lot. When faith is exercised, things happen. When faith is not exercised, things don't happen. Amen? You're going to Mark chapter 5 in your Bible. When faith is exercised, things happen. Amen? I'll say one more time, when faith isn't exercised, things don't happen. But we don't have to say that anymore because we are faith exercisers. Amen? We use our faith. Amen? When faith is exercised, things happen. Let's go to the Bible and see what we can do to exercise faith and to connect with the power of God. I'm going to do my best for the next couple of Sundays to be speaking to you about connecting with the power of God. We're going to be talking about the laws of contact and transmission. Amen? We're going to be talking about how to connect with the power of God for physical healing. But you can take the principles we're going to be talking about and you can use them in any realm of your existence. They'll work any way you apply them. Amen? Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Say amen if you're there. Hallelujah. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered but rather grew worse, as is the case with many people today. Amen. Back and forth to the hospital, back and forth to the doctor with no results. When she heard of Jesus, like you're hearing of Jesus, she came in the press. You see, CNN was there and Fox, and everywhere Jesus went, the press followed him. This is talking about multitudes of people thronging him, as you know, pressing against him. Amen? He was being touched on every side. He was being compressed by that crowd. She came in the press behind, and she touched his garment. For she said, oh, and you know the importance of speaking in line with your prayers, don't you? Amen? Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our confession. She said, don't miss that. Amen? Religious thinking will cause you to miss that. She said, that's in there on purpose, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, the fountain, that word actually says gushing and pumping. The gushing and pumping of her blood, how this woman lived for 12 years with blood gushing and pumping out of her is beyond me. The gushing and pumping of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Jesus, you see the multitude thronging you, pressing against you. Everyone's touching you. And you say, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing, and the woman to see her that had done this thing. To see her that had done the, who did it? To see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. She said, I did it, Jesus. I touched you, expecting your power to flow into me, and it did. Guilty as charged. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. Shalom. Nothing broken, nothing missing anymore. And be whole of thy plague. Well, my goodness. Look at right here. There's two causes to this woman getting healed. In verse 30, it says, Jesus knew immediately his virtue had left him. That word virtue is power. Jesus knew power had gone out of him. Somebody said so. Jesus' power healed that woman. But down there in verse 34, he said, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Well, which is it? Was it Jesus' power or was it her faith? It was both. It was her faith in his power. For she said within herself, all I have to do is get close enough to touch his clothes, because apparently she heard that virtue was in his clothing and other people were being healed by touching his clothing. You know, the power of God is a tangible substance and it can be transmitted back and forth to one another, from me to you and you to me, by the laying on of hands, or it can also be carried in cloth. And that cloth can be taken to the sick, and the healing anointing will come out of that cloth and go into the sick and drive out evil spirits. And I want to encourage you, next Sunday, next Wednesday, the following Sunday, if you can bring a piece of clothing, an article of clothing, or even just a handkerchief, that you can bring into contact with the sick loved one, something you can get them to wear, something maybe you can slip in that pillowcase that they can sleep on at night, so the anointing of God will go, as I lay my hands on it, will go into it. Do you know that I'm anointed to heal the sick? Do you realize that? Somebody said, I don't believe any such thing. Only Jesus could heal the sick. Jesus never healed anybody. Never healed. But the Bible says, and Jesus healed them all. No, Jesus said the Father healed them all. Jesus said in John 14:10, he said, the Father within me, he doeth the works. And that word works is mighty, explosive works of power. He said, the Father within me, he doeth the mighty, explosive works of power. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And God is with me. God is with you. Do you know you're anointed to heal the sick? Jesus said in John 14:12, he said, the works that I do, you will do as well. Only greater works you'll do, because I go to be with the Father. The same Holy Spirit that was upon Jesus and within Jesus to heal the sick is within you and comes upon you to heal the sick, if you'll just dare to lay your hands on the sick and expect them to go into the recovery process. What if I do and nothing happens? What if you do and something does happen? Amen? You can lay hands on the sick and expect the power of God to flow. Amen? Jesus said, woman, thy faith made thee whole. You have faith in my power, but faith nonetheless. Amen? She's the only one who got healed. His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing you and thronging you. Amen? There could be dozens of people at a time pressing against you, crushing you, and pushing on you, reaching out and to touch you. And you said, who touched me? And Jesus said, yeah, I did. I asked, who touched me in faith? Everybody else is touching me out of curiosity, wondering if something might happen, but not expecting something to happen. But this woman touched me, expecting something to happen. Do you expect things to happen in your body when you're prayed for? Do you expect things to happen in other people's bodies when you pray for them? Do you believe the word of God today? The only person in that whole crowd who got healed that day was that one woman, because she didn't touch him out of curiosity. She touched him in faith, expecting to receive. Amen? Go to Mark chapter 6. She's the only one who was healed. Jesus didn't heal everybody. He couldn't. Jesus didn't heal everybody. Mark chapter 6. He couldn't. I said Jesus couldn't heal everybody. People take issue with that statement, but we'll just go to the Bible. Amen? If Jesus could heal, if he could just heal anybody, he would heal everybody, because he's love. Amen? Amen? But our faith has a part to play in it. A very small part, but a very vital part. Look right here, Mark chapter 6. Are you there? He went forth in verse 1, came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished by his wisdom, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? Jesus had 13 brothers and sisters, the Bible reveals. Sorry to disappoint you Catholic folks who think Mary remained a virgin for the rest of her life. She didn't. Amen? She had 13 other children. We'll cover that someday. Amen? Amen? All right. And they were offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went around the villages teaching. What's the cure for unbelief? How does faith come? He didn't rebuke the bunch of deadbeats. He just kept on teaching. Out of compassion, amen? He could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. So he just kept teaching and teaching and teaching. But the Bible does say, doesn't it, that Jesus, who was anointed... You know, John 3:34 says that Jesus Christ was anointed by the Holy Spirit without measure. He had the full measure of the Holy Spirit available to him. There would be days when Jesus would go out and heal entire crowds of people, thousands of people at a time, because they're all placing a demand on his power. But then he'd encounter situations where everybody wasn't placing a demand on his power, and there was nothing he could do, even though he was anointed without measure, because people weren't placing a demand on his power. They weren't reaching out by faith, just like this woman with the issue of blood. The people all around her, they were touching him out of curiosity, not by faith. When people don't get into faith, there's hardly a thing God can do for them. My friend, Ronald Coyne, it's time to talk about Brother Ronald again here today. I haven't spoken to you about Ronald for about 2 months. You remember Ronald? Ronald had no eyeball in his right eye socket. This is not a man I read about. This is a man Barbara and I knew personally. No eyeball in his right eye socket. He popped that eyeball out, and when he did, a little string of druze came off, and I went, ooh. He put it on the pulpit on a handkerchief. He really pulled that plastic thing out. He pulled his little eyelid down, and he let us look in there. It was as empty as some people's heads. Amen? There's nothing in there. There's nothing in there. Some people's darling dumb heads, I should say. Amen? Eye blocked. You got to hear this again. This bears repeating. I took a handkerchief. Who's got a handkerchief? I folded it 8 times, and I put it over his existing left eye, just like this. I folded it 8 times, and I put it over his existing good eye, just like this. I'll show you photographs of it someday. I have it. I pushed it in there so hard, he said to me after one service, he said, you know, no one ever pushed that handkerchief into my eye as hard as you did before. If I didn't like you so much, I'd be angry with you right now. And I said, praise God for favor. But I wasn't going to let him see out that eye. And I took a half a roll of adhesive tape. I crisscrossed it to hold it in place. Then I went down the bridge of his nose, under his nose, down either side of it, across his forehead. I'll show you pictures of it. I have pictures of it, amen? There was no way he could secretly see out of the bridge of his nose. Just no way in the world. And he sat up there in the pulpit on the chair, up on the platform on a chair, and every person in that congregation brought him something to read, and without fail he sat there and he read with flawless reading skill through an empty eye socket. And I asked him one time, I'm talking about unbelief, I haven't forgotten where I am, amen, you need to hear this again, amen, because the Bible says that we're delivered, we're set free, we're saved, not only by the blood of the Lamb, but by the word of our testimonies. Amen? God gave that man that testimony, and God does not want that testimony to die in the earth. God brought him into our lives so that we could continue to impart that testimony to others and speak experientially and tell you, we saw this. We knew this man. I said to him, Ronald, can you see out of that eye only in church? That empty eye socket?
Or can you see out that eye 24/7? Is it just when the anointing comes on you? Is it just the type of miracle that when you're in church, somebody blocks your good eye, all of a sudden you begin to see through the empty eye socket? He said, no, sir. I drive right down the road 24/7. He said, I can close my good eye and I can see through my plastic eyeball. He said, I can see with or without the plastic eyeball in that socket. Somebody said, I don't believe that. And I say, well, I pity you. Amen? He said there was an exception to that when I was a little boy. If I was demonstrating that miracle like I've demonstrated in your church, Pastor John, and when I was demonstrating that miracle with my existing eye blocked, and people would come up in the line and give me things to read, I'd be reading all along. And then somebody would step in front of me, that'd be the next in turn, next in line, and they didn't believe, it'd go black, I couldn't see. Their unbelief grieved the Spirit of God so bad that I couldn't see out of that eye. And he said a minister noticed one time, because he used to go out in these large tent crusades in the 1950s as a little boy and give this demonstration all over America. He ended up as an adult going all over the world. He led millions of souls to Jesus demonstrating this miracle. A minister came up to me, Pastor John, you already told us this. That's right, I did. I'm telling you again, because faith comes by hearing, and then you need to hear it again, or the Holy Spirit wouldn't be impressed. I'm not running out of testimonies. I'm not running out of things to say. I'm telling you that Ronald told me, by the Spirit of God, a man came to me and said, I see that you're having struggle reading some things with some people, and a minister who understood faith. Ronald was just a boy when this happened to him. I know what your problem is, and I can help you. That's unbelief grieving the Spirit of God that causes your eye to go blank when you can't read for some people. And if you'll spend some time reading your Bible before you demonstrate that, every time you're in a crusade, that won't happen to you anymore. If you'll get your faith level up higher than those people's unbelief level, you can override that, and that miracle won't shut down on you. And he said, that's the only problem I ever had seeing out of that eye. And when I took that man's advice, and I began just to read my Bible, just for a few minutes before demonstrating that miracle, because faith comes by hearing, my faith level would go up and be above the unbelief level of these offending parties. And they couldn't do that to me anymore. He said, so I conquered that with the Word of God. And from that time on in my life, he said, I've been able to see through. I wake up in the morning, I see right out of that eye like you see out of your right eye. He calls it my eye, and there's no eye there. He saw through the eye of his spirit. Every physical component has a spiritual equal. But really what it is, every spiritual component has a physical equal, because you're a spirit, you're not a body. Amen? Unbelief will block the spout where the miracle flow comes out. Amen? Power is passive until somebody releases faith. The power of God, go to Luke chapter 5 if you would, is present in this room right now. The power of God is present in this room right now, but it's inert. It's inoperative. It's passive. It's inactive until somebody throws what I call the faith switch. Amen? Lots of people came that day with that woman with the issue of blood was having a problem. Lots of people came that day, but the Bible only records that one person, at least in that crowd, getting healed that day, because she was the only one who exercised faith. Your faith has something to do with your healing or your loved one's healing. You need to unleash expectation, expecting the power of God to flow. You know, the power of God is a living substance. It's as real as electricity. As a matter of fact, the glory is the power of God. And the power of God is the glory. And it's as real in the spirit realm as electricity is in the natural realm. As a matter of fact, God's power in the supernatural realm is called the glory. God's power in the natural is electricity. Electricity is a natural manifestation of God's power. Electricity is the power of God. It's a lesser form of the power of God that He's made available to us to meet our needs. But it's a form of God's power. Amen? God's power is a living quantity. It's the living principle that is behind all manifestations of life everywhere, from an ant to a mouse to a moose to a man. It's the power of God that keeps all things alive, whether it's the vegetable kingdom, the animal kingdom, the human kingdom. The pregnant vitality of God gives life to everything that lives and breathes and moves.
everything that reproduces does so by the pregnant vitality of God. Amen? And it's as real as electricity. Amen? When you get zapped by electricity, you know it. When you get hit by the power of God, you'll know it too. Amen? Listen, healing is indeed... I ask you to go to Luke chapter 5. I haven't forgotten where I am. Healing is indeed a matter of God's grace. Yes. It's a matter of your faith. Yes. But it's also perfectly scientific. It's as scientific as it is spiritual. It's a scientific application of God's life-giving principle. It's a heavenly materiality. It's not some spooky thing. It's a tangible substance. It can be passed from one human being into another. It can be passed from the throne of God into a human being. It can be passed from one human being into another. It can be transferred from articles of clothing to articles of clothing. It's a living, tangible, but heavenly materiality. It's as real as electricity. Amen? You following that? Where did I ask you to go? Luke chapter 5? Hallelujah. How do we get it to flow? How do we get it to flow? Somebody said, if God wants to heal me, He can. And I said, that's as stupid as saying, if God wants to turn the lights on, He can just turn them on Himself. If God wants us to have light, He can throw the switch. No, if we want light, we have to throw the switch. God's made the power available to us. And in the same way, if we want healing, we have to throw the switch of faith. We have to tap into it by faith. Only people who tap into it by faith receive. And you can do it. It's so simple, even I can do it. You can tap into the power of God with your faith. You can expect the manifestation of God's power in your body if you believe. Amen? What did Jesus say to that woman? I know y'all just waiting to get to Luke chapter 5, so am I. He said, daughter, my power has made thee whole. What did He say? He said, daughter, your faith has made thee whole. I can't tell you how many times in the New Testament Jesus said that to somebody. But before we take a look at Luke chapter 5, I'm going to take a run at it. In Mark chapter 8, that centurion who came and said, my servant lieth at home sick of a fever. If you'll pray for him, I know he'll be healed. Jesus said to him, according as you believe, according as you have believed, so be it unto you. And according as you have believed, or according as you have unleashed expectation, so be it unto you. Isn't that what He said? How about in Luke chapter 17, there's 10 lepers over there. We won't go over there. They came and they pleaded mercy of Jesus for healing in their bodies. And He told them, you go show the priest that you're healed. They all went and headed for the priest. One of them came back. One of them came back and gave thanks unto Him. He said, where are the other nine? He said, I don't know, but I'm here. And I came to give thanks to you. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. According as you have believed, and the man was made whole. He said, according as you believed. You go read that over there in Luke chapter 17. The boy whose father brought him to Jesus, the demons kept throwing him into the fire and into the water over there in Mark chapter 9. He said, Jesus, Jesus, help me, help me, help me. If only you can do something. And Jesus said, if only I can do something. He said, all things are possible if only you will believe. Isn't that what He told them? He said to this woman over here, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Continually, throughout the Gospels, Jesus said to people, what do you got faith for? Here's another one that just comes into my spirit. Matthew chapter 9. I believe you'll find it right around verse 29. Two blind men called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. He said, what would you have me to do? They said, we would see. He said, do you believe I'm able? They said, yea, Lord. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. And immediately their eyes were opened. Whew!
our faith has a big part to play in our healing. If we're just sitting around waiting to see what God's going to do, He's probably not going to do a whole lot. We need to tap into that heavenly materiality, that pregnant vitality, through an operation of our own faith. And you can do it. It's easy. It's easy enough to do. Look right here in Luke chapter 5. Hallelujah. Let's go over here. Ooh, glory be to God. Just some scripture. It's so different in here. I wish I could communicate to you how different it is. It's so different now. It's so different now. And I guess as the pastor, I'd be the first one to pick that up. Amen? I believe it's working in you as well. It's so different. It's so different. It's so different. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. Hallelujah. God's power is present in this room right now. Hold up a second before we read. Eyes forward. No reading. This room is filled right now. No cheating. I can see if you're reading up here now. This room is filled with satellite signals coming from 22,500 miles in space. This room is flooded right now with satellite TV signals and satellite radio signals. Can you see them? No, but if you could get a satellite dish and capture them, you could display them on a monitor, couldn't you? Is that not true? This room is full of them right now. You could put a satellite connection in this room right now and we could start watching what's being broadcast from 22,500 miles in space. But you don't see them, do you? Well, the power of God's present in this room too. You don't have to see it to believe it. God's everywhere at all times. God's omnipresent. He's not only omniscient, He not only knows all things, He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all of the time through the agency of the Holy Spirit. And the agency of the Holy Spirit is the glory of God, the power of God, the person of the Holy Spirit is the power of God. He's here. This room is full of Him. Amen? But you don't see it, but it's here. And you can tap into it. Look right here, Luke 5:17. Now we read. Amen? Say, finally. Hallelujah. It came to pass in verse 17, on a certain day as He was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law. Those were rabbis. That's the only time in Scripture, by the way, that rabbis are called doctors of the law. This is a reference to rabbis. They were sitting by, which came out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. That's what I wanted you to see right there. The power of God was present to heal them, even as the power of God is present to heal you here today. The Pharisees were His enemies. They despised Him. They were there not to receive. They were there to deceive people into turning against Jesus. That's what they were there for. They were there conspiring ways to destroy Him. Not all of the rabbis were like that. Not all of the doctors of the law were like that. But the majority of the Pharisees were. Nicodemus was an exception there. But for the most part, the Pharisees despised Him. They were His biggest enemies, His biggest religious enemies, when He walked in the earth. And the Bible says the power of God was present to heal them. Talk about love. How dare anyone ever refer to God as wrath? Amen? That stinking lie is all through on Cape Cod. Amen? That is past tense. Amen? We've crushed that thing into the ground, taken authority over it, and run it out of town. Amen? Here is Jesus' enemies. These are the men who ultimately put Him to death. Falsely accused Him. Judiciously betrayed Him, these folks. Illegally executed Him. And the power was present to heal them. Woo! That power is here today. That power is here today to bring healing into your body. Now, none of them got healed because none of them reached out by faith to receive that healing. Amen? They're just left there hanging in space for all of eternity. You don't hear from those folks again, but look what happened in verse 18. Behold, men brought into bed a man which was taken with the palsy, and they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before Jesus. Place was so crowded they couldn't find by which way they might bring him in because of the multitude. So they went up on the housetop, let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, how did he see their faith? Well, James 2:26 and 17 says faith without works is dead. He saw their faith in action. They were acting that faith. You can act your faith. When you come up here for me to lay hands on you, if you have sickness in your body, you're acting your faith. Amen? Jesus saw the way they were acting out their faith. The man who was sick of the palsy and the four who bore him, he said unto him, Man, oh man. You want to circle that word man in your Bible. When Jesus sees your faith, he says, man, that's impressive. Thy sins are forgiven thee. Whoa! And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason within themselves, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? You know, when you think about this, back then, they didn't have a problem with healing. They had a problem with forgiveness. They didn't mind Jesus healing folks, really. They had a problem with Jesus forgiving folks. Today, we don't have a problem with Jesus forgiving folks. We got a problem with Jesus healing folks. Like I said, some people's heads are as empty as Ronald Coyne's right eye socket. Amen? And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he knew what they were thinking. That's amazing. He answered and said unto them, why reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easy to say, thy sins be forgiven, or to say, rise up and walk? He said, what difference does it make? I can't forgive him without healing him, and I can't heal him without forgiving him. It's all one and the same in God's economy. Isn't that what the Bible says in James chapter 5? I think in verse 13 through 15. If any among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. You're reading or you're listening. We'll go down there and we'll all read that together. But we're a family. Let's stay together here. Isn't that what it says in James chapter 5, 14 and 15 and 16? I believe, is any among you sick? If so, let him call for the elders of the church. And the elders should anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. And if they've committed any sins, they'll be forgiven. You know, by the prayer of faith being prayed over the sick, forgiveness is offered to them at the same time without even asking. That's what James said, the brother of Jesus. He learned that, Jesus' half-brother, growing up with Jesus. There's healing and forgiveness, and there's forgiveness and healing. God can't do one without the other. God doesn't have power to heal and a separate power to forgive. God has power, and his power forgives, and his power heals. Jesus is saying to the Pharisees, you knuckleheads. Don't, not you, the Pharisees. Not, you're not the knuckleheads. Don't you understand I can't heal them without forgiving them? And I can't forgive them without healing them? It's all one and the same. But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy. And if you're sick today, I'm going to put my hands on you. You're going to expect a manifestation in your body? Or are you going to wonder in hope? Or are you going to expect? Arise, he said, take up thy couch and go into thine house. Immediately he rose up before them, took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. Listen, in that entire crowd, we don't read of anybody else getting healed in this multitude, except the crippled man who said, get me up on that roof, cut a hole in it, drop me down in front of him, I'll pay for it later. I've got to have him put his hands on me. I'm going to put my hands on you. The power of God is present to heal you today. Do you believe? Do you expect? You expect to receive? You know, when Jesus would pray for people, sometimes they weren't healed instantly. There were two ways that they were healed. Some people were healed in the self same hour, meaning they went into the recovery process, but they went into the recovery process immediately. The nobleman's son that Jesus prayed for, the Bible says he was healed within the hour, or in the self-same hour. Amen? Healing can come instantly, or healing can come progressively. But if you believe that the virtue of God comes into you when I lay my hands on you, you will receive. The whole crowd didn't receive the day that the woman with the issue of blood reached out and touched Jesus' garment. Only she did. The Pharisees and the doctors of the law didn't receive healing, and the Bible says specifically it was there specifically to heal them specifically. The power of God was specifically there to heal the scribes and the doctors of the law specifically. But they didn't receive. But the man who got into faith with his four friends who acted their faith, they acted like they believed it. See, faith without works is dead. The Weymouth Bible says faith without corresponding actions is null and void. It's useless. Faith without corresponding actions. We need to show God that we believe. Amen? We need to do something to act our faith. And what we're going to do here today to act our faith and to get the power of God to flow is you're going to come up and I'm going to lay my hands on you. Amen? You're going to come up here, I'm going to lay my hands on you, and whatever affliction the devil's been harassing you with is going to have to go. That's how we're going to act our faith. We're going to get into agreement. And as I said, the power of God is passive until somebody throws on the faith switch. The power of God is inert. It's inoperable. It's inactive until somebody like the woman with the issue of blood taps into it with an act of faith. Until somebody like the palsied man and his four buddies who cut the hole in the roof and dropped them down showed Jesus their faith, he went home walking. Amen? I'm going to pray for you. The Holy Spirit showed me. We're going to be ministering on healing. We're going to be doing some other things as well.
Amen.
We're going to be open to whatever the Holy Spirit's wanting to decree at this time of harvest over Cape Cod and Massachusetts. But at the same time, God loves you. And He doesn't want you struggling and suffering with sickness and disease in your body. Amen. Waking up in the middle of the night with hot flashes and headaches and aching and throbbing in your body. And hallelujah. I don't know what it is you need. I don't know what it is you need to be rid of today, but we're going to close the service with me praying for you. Now, we're just going to do it right now. Amen. Maybe you need it in your own body. Maybe you want to stand up here on behalf of someone else, and we'll pray the prayer of agreement. We'll loose the power of God into their lives, and it will go into them, and it will remedy a cure on their behalf if you will believe. Jesus said all things are possible if only you believe. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Jesus said, all things are possible if only you will believe. Jesus said to the woman, He said, daughter, thy faith in my power has healed you. Go in peace. Shalom. Nothing broken, nothing missing. I believe He said to her, when He said to her peace and He said shalom, the woman with the issue of blood, I believe that every realm of her existence was restored and everything the doctors had ripped her off of was restored to her. He said peace and He spoke into her entire existence. Nothing broken, nothing missing. I believe He restored to her everything those doctors stole from her over 12 years as well as healing her body. When Jesus says shalom, when Jesus speaks peace into your life, something supernatural happens. Now, if you'd like to come and have me lay hands on you as an act of faith today, if you'll come and you'll expect the power of God to come into your body, something supernatural will indeed occur if you will only believe. Amen. So come. Come now. Hallelujah. Don't wait for others. Don't wait for others to come. That grieves the Spirit of God. When God's prompting you in your spirit, the best thing that you can do is obey Him immediately. When you feel the Holy Spirit, when you're impressed in your spirit that the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do something, you want to do it immediately. Amen? Immediately. Jane, if you come right on up here. Hallelujah. Move. Come immediately. If you're going to have prayer for healing, I'm just trying to give you a little pastoral counsel. The best thing you can do is not wait for others. The best thing you can do is obey the Spirit of God immediately and come right up here. Joshua, I think you need to come up here right now. Hallelujah. How are we praying for you, Jane?
Oh, I want to pray for Tom.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stand a proxy for
Yeah.
When I got back home, He gave me two bad things to pray for.
Mm-hmm.
he had some tests done on his heart, and his heart is not good.
Okay.
And they found a growth in his liver.
Yeah.
And cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Two things.
Well, praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we've stood in proxy for Tom before, and you've intervened. Father, we ask you to strengthen him in his heart. In the name of Jesus. Father, we ask that the surgery would proceed in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the spirit of cancer. Oh, yes, Lord. From his liver. Father, let the doctors look and see it's gone. Have mercy on him. We ask you to forgive him, Father, for his sins in Jesus' name. Father, ask him to take another look and that it would be gone, Father. Jane can believe that for him. She's believed him out of messes before, and she's doing it again right here, Father. And we ask you to quicken his mortal body, strengthen his heart, Father, and let the surgery proceed, Father. We say that he will live. He will not die, and Jane will not fear. Fear not, said Jesus, only believe. Only believe. There's only one way to tell if you believe him. Keep speaking the word of faith over him. Speak only faith, only faith, only faith, only faith. Listen to the way you're talking over him. Watch what you say. Watch what you say. Just like Jesus told Jairus, fear not. Watch what you say. Keep on believing. Don't believe these bad reports. Don't believe these evil reports. The doctors mean well, but they don't know. Don't believe these evil reports. Faith will always keep a good report. Don't say what the doctors say. You just reinforce what they believe. Now don't speak against what we've been believing for him. The surgery will proceed in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Watch what you say. Watch what, just like you've watched what you've said, continue to watch what you say. Fear not, only believe, and God will move in this situation. Amen? These are lying vanities. Jonah called his circumstances lying vanities. And Jonah said, when I look at my circumstances, I forsake my mercy. Don't look at these circumstances, Jane. Believe. The doctors will go back. The tumor will be gone. God's having mercy on Tom. And the surgery will proceed if you believe. Amen? Fear not, only believe. And there's only one way to tell if you believe, and listen to the way you're talking over them, okay? Don't agree with the doctors. In Jesus' name, we take authority over every negative report. We bind it. We cancel it. In the name of Jesus. And we say, Jane has what she says. Your word, Father, is the final word in Jesus' name. So go on your way rejoicing, says the Spirit of God. Takes faith to rejoice. Go on your way rejoicing. Amen. The tumor is gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Soge peradiste. Barbara, if you step up here. Hallelujah.
I want to normalize my blood sugar without medication.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Barbara wants to normalize her blood sugar without medication.
Hallelujah.
Of course, there's nothing wrong with an apple and some almond butter. But at the same time, Father, we're here today to unleash expectation for the supernatural. Father, we thank you that as she does everything she knows to do in the natural, that you will intervene now on her behalf, God, and cause her blood sugar to be normalized. Lord, if she's doing something, if she's consuming something that's making this difficult, show her, Father, by the word of knowledge, whatever that might be, Father.
Yes.
Whatever that thing might be.
Yes.
Show her, God, what she might be doing to hinder this. And we speak to her blood sugar. We command it to be normal in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Be normal. Stop spiking and dropping throughout the day. Be balanced, be healed, be whole in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we command these hot flashes to stop in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name. Father, help Barbara to watch what she says and to never again say, my hot flashes. Never again claim them as hers or these hot flashes. Hot flashes have no place in her body. In the name of the Lord Jesus, cease and desist. Every time one comes, Father, remind her, to just open her mouth and softly say, hot flashes have no place in me, in Jesus' name. It's a curse of the law. Christ hath redeemed her from the curse of the law. Now have mercy, Father, as she reaches out, Father, and touch you with your power, your grace, Father, as she does with the woman with the issue of blood did, reaches out and touches you by faith, fully expecting manifestation from her blood sugar, her former hot flashes, and her grandson.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, God, we release the power of God into this family. The healing virtue of Jesus. Receive it. Receive it. Just receive it. Just stand right there right now and just expect it to flow right into you. Flowing right into you now. Flowing right into you now. Oh, Father, we pray for Joshua in the name of Jesus, God, for complete manifestation of healing in his body in the name of Jesus. Are you hoping or are you expecting? You're in agreement with me then.
Amen.
Father, by the prayer of agreement, we release the healing virtue of Jesus into Joshua's body. No fear, faith. Say what you believe. No more saying what you have. Say what you need. No more speaking the sickness. No more speaking the symptoms. No more wondering if God will ever heal me. You receive it right here today by faith in Jesus' name. And you watch those symptoms dry up at the root. Say, by his stripes I am healed.
By his stripes I am healed.
Hallelujah. Say, symptoms, go. Dry up. Wither at the roots and die. In Jesus' name. You just received that power of God flowing into your body. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, I release the virtue of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
As Barbara taps into it, she's not looking at me, God. She's looking at you.
Hallelujah.
Be it unto you according to your faith.
Yes, Father.
According to your faith.
Thank you, Lord.
According to your faith.
Yes, Lord.
You just believe. Believe. Continue to accept. Expect.
Yes.
Continue to believe the precious, holy, written word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank
you, Hallelujah.
Thank you,
in one of his visitations of Jesus, Jesus came to Dr. Hagen and he said, you've been believing God for your wife's healing for a number of years and you haven't seen any manifestation. But because you have refused to give up, this is what Jesus said to him in a visitation, an open vision of Jesus. Because you refused to give up, because you refuse to take no for an answer, I'm healing her right now. You refuse to give up. Refuse to take no for an answer. In Jesus' name, and speak in line with your prayers. Maurice, how are we praying for you? Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, whatever you have, that's what he wants, God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Were you going to say something else?
No, that's what he...
Hallelujah.
Whatever he has for me, I'll take it.
You take it. Father, in Jesus' name, renew his youth in Jesus' name. Restore his dexterity in Jesus' name, Father. That hand-eye coordination, Father, in Jesus' name. Restore it, Lord. Supernatural restoration, Father. Enable him to continue to do the things you've put in his heart to do, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, above all things, give him wisdom. Wisdom both to know and to do of your good pleasure in this earth, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
That's the power of God just went right through my hands. This has happened with you before. It went through another man and hit you. It just went from my right hand into my left hand. Hallelujah. 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 Let's just pray. If you want to see your youth renewed and restored, you come up here right now for a supernatural impartation of energy, physical energy from the Lord. Hallelujah. You come up here now if you want your youth to be renewed and be restored. If you want a touch of heaven, hallelujah. If you're tired of being tired, you come up right now, hallelujah, there'll be an impartation In Jesus' name, if you'll expect, if you believe, we're not in a hurry. We're not in a hurry. Hallelujah. 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 Restoration. Impartation. Restoration. Impartation. Restoration. Hallelujah. 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 You know, some of you folks are thinking you're going to leave the earth sooner than you are, and you need to stop that. That's what comes into my spirit. Some of you are thinking wrong. You're thinking you're going to leave the earth sooner than you are, and you need to repent and ask God to forgive you. Amen? He didn't tell you that. He promised you long life. Long life. When Moses said, the years of our lives are 80, that's 90 years, that was a complaint. He was complaining, we're not living like we're supposed to, God. And it was because they were in sin. It was because Israel refused to mix faith, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:2. Israel refused to mix faith with what Moses was preaching to them. And that's why they continued to stumble and stagger in the wilderness. Mix faith with what you're hearing here today. Go home and look at Hebrews 4:2 and mix faith with what you're hearing here today. Repent for thinking you're closer to the end than you are, because you're not. Hallelujah. Long life, renewed energy, Father. Restoration and impartation, Father. Oh, Father God, in Jesus' name. Like spiritual vitamins, God. Spiritual supplements, God. Renew that strength, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Renew their vision, God. Renew their hope, God. Hallelujah. Now this, whoa, hallelujah, Helen, right out of my right hand into you, the side of your face. Hallelujah. So I know when the power of God's there, whether it's just a teeny flow or a big flow, it's the power of God still. And it just came into the both of you in Jesus' name. Renewed strength, renewed vigor, renewed energy, renewed hope, and renewed and restored vision. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 And here, same here. Restoration and renewal.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. And renewed hope for the future. Restoration and renewal. And renewed hope for the future. Restoration. Renewal. Energy. In Jesus' name. Supernatural. Physical. Energy, Father. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Father.
And for Barbara, Lord,
yes,
in Jesus'
Lord.
Name,
yes.
We receive it.
Yes, Lord.
We receive it, God.
Yes.
What you do, God, we're going to need energy for that which is upon us.
Yes.
We're going to need energy, and we say we have the wisdom.
Yes.
We have the finances. We have the people. We have the material goods. We have the favor. We have the anointing. We have the time. We have the Holy Ghost. We have everything we need for that which has come upon us, Father, as a church and as a body.
Yes.
Hallelujah. It takes energy at harvest time.
Yes.
And we receive it. I'm going to touch you again,
yes,
as the Holy Spirit shows me. Take it by faith. Don't let the devil tell you that I don't know what I'm doing. Don't let him tell you that. Hallelujah. Hope! Hope, health, and healing for the harvest. In the name of Jesus, say, I believe.
I believe.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
I'm not a doubter.
I'm not a doubter.
Take that impartation, go home with it in Jesus' name. Let's sing this song together. Hallelujah. 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 Then we're going to have Helen Robinson close in prayer after we sing this song. You can hear the words. Amen. Hallelujah. We don't have the words on the paper. We'll just have to listen and sing. Amen. We are free to love you, Lord. I am free to love you. Free to praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I am free.